I'm truly honored to be here and to have family and students. A lot of them are here, and they're the youngest of former students. And then I have, well, probably the oldest of former students. Bryce Guyperson is here today, as I called him, Bryce Guyman. And that was, what, 23 years ago or so? Right about there. So thanks for coming today. It's great to be in the Lord's house. I sought the Lord on what to talk about today. And just in light of who the Lord put on my heart who would come, or who I had hoped would come, I'd like to focus on something called the Romans Road. And the Romans Road is a way to share with others about Jesus. So if you'll open your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, that is in the New Testament. And in the New Testament, you'll find Romans. Get the Bible. It's right in front there. There's a Bible in front of you that you can use. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and the Romans. So it's in the New Testament, so it's going to be more on the right-hand side of your Bible. The book of Romans. I was sharing with my son Nick yesterday, who could not be here, that Matt had invited a bunch of students, and so he said, "Well, Dad, is it going to be a BL?" And my students know that stands for... Yeah. And so I tell them often that I don't have boring lectures, but they tend to differ, as Mr. Sweem's lectures are very vibrant, interesting, and fun. Isn't that true? Yes. It's all with the content. Science is very hands-on and interesting. So all of that is to say, let's go to Romans, the third chapter. Romans 3. Father, I just want to pray to you again that this message is of grave importance, because, Father, all of us are going to pass through this life, either knowing you or not knowing you, Lord. So, Father, I pray right now that as heaven shines so brightly, that, Lord, may we just see your face through these words, and that the words of your word will just touch our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." For all have sinned. All means all. All of us have sinned. And in the English language, the word sin or sinner means missing the mark. In England, many years ago, they would play a game called archery. And in archery, when one was to pull back and shoot, if they missed the mark, they were a sinner. And so that's where the word comes from, sinner, meaning missing the mark. For we all miss the mark in life. All of us are sinners. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. You say, "Fred, you're calling me a sinner?" Yes, I am. We all have frailties, and we fail. We fail at the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments. And so because of that, because we sin, that means missing the mark. It's been said that the number one cause of sin is being a human being. And so because all of us are human, we all miss the mark. Now, there are some better than others. Take, for example, well, my wife, Kathy. She doesn't sin as often as I do. And so there are some that are better than others. But still, we all miss the mark. Don't you agree, girls, that would be, you'd be in agreement to that? But there are some that are better than others. Well, let's just say that there is going to be a contest. it would be a long jump contest, and let's say Matt McFeeters were to say, Mr. A, I want to see who can jump from the abandoned pier to the island of Oahu. And I would say, okay, Matt, I know that you're good at long jumping. He's one of our long jumpers on our track team. And so we go down to the abandoned pier, and Matt says, you first. And so I go, and I run, and run as fast as I can, and jump as far as I could to Hawaii, and I jump only 4 feet into the water. And Matt says, well, that's very pathetic. And he goes, and he gets back at the very beginning of the pier, and he runs and sprints as fast as you know Matt can run, and he jumps 30 feet into the water off of the abandoned pier. It would make Carl Lewis jealous. But still, even though it was a great jump, Matt fell very short. And that's the way it is for all of us. All of us fall short. And that's what this verse says. For all have sinned and come short. All of us fall short of the glory of God. We can't be perfect and get into heaven. We can't work our way and be good people and get to heaven. And the goal is to avoid hell in our mind, but we can't be good enough, as sin means missing the mark. And then turn over to Romans 6:23 on the way of the Romans road. And Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. There has to be a price for my sin, for your sin, and the price is death. We're taught today that we are very physical people. We know that we're fleshy, physical human beings. We're geared toward the flesh. We like the flesh. And we're very, very physical-oriented people. We're also taught that we have a brain, a mind, and that we're very mental and cognitive. And we take a lot of pride in that knowledge puffs up, and we learn and get high school diplomas and college degrees and all the rest. But we're also not just a mental being, not just a physical being, we're also a spiritual being. Did you know that? God created us to be physical, mental, and spiritual. And the spiritual is the only part of us that lives forever. And so some of us may deny it. We may not like it. We may not really feel spiritual. But we do have that emotional side to us where we have the opportunity to have communion and connection with the creator of the universe and to talk to him and to get to know him. But you may deny, you may say, Fred, I don't know. Mr. A, I don't know how to be spiritual or what that really means. Let me show you through this lens. Let's say that you take a 500-pound barbell and lay it on a dead man. Is that dead person going to feel anything? No. No. And so I suggest to you that perhaps maybe you at times can be so spiritually dead that we don't even feel the weight of sin. Because you may say, Fred, I don't feel I have to pay any wages. I don't feel that there's a load of sin on my shoulders. As a matter of fact, I like sin. I like sinning. Sinning is fun. I steal and I go out and do things I shouldn't do. And it's actually kind of boom-chaka-laka fun. Well, the Bible does say that there is pleasure in sin for a season. But the rest of that verse says, in the end comes death and destruction. Did you know that? The Bible also says that when lust has conceived or when it started, it brings forth sin. So when we desire something or someone or whatever the case may be, when we desire it, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. When I lust after something, when I crave something, when I want something more than I want my Heavenly Father or what is called Jesus, when I want the things of this world, that lusting, that craving, that desire tends to choke anything spiritual out, and I just die and wither away. And so sin has been said that it's not bad because it's forbidden. Sin is forbidden because it's bad. Sin is bad. It's terrible. It's awful. If I see a rattlesnake in our house and I see Abby's back turned to it or Tiana, I'm going to do everything in my power to get rid of that rattlesnake because it's bad. That's what sin is. Sin stinks. It's bad. It does awful things. And whether you're 13 or 93, in your life, you deal with sin every day. I deal with sin every day. And so the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift of eternal life. Now you say, Fred, that's really cool because I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved. I want to be on the good side. But really, the best thing about being in heaven is, I mean, it's going to be cool that you're going to be there. That's going to be the first big cool thing, that you're there. The second cool thing is that you're going to know your family and friends are going to be there. But the most important thing about heaven is that Jesus is there. Because everything that is good and right and true is going to be made right in heaven. And we're going to be complete. But it's not because of it being a perfect place where everything is just right. It's because God is there and He's made it so for you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And it's all because He's there. And so He, knowing that man needed someone to come and be a deliverer for my rotten, gnarly life of sin, He sent His Son to be butchered on the cross and to die for me, to die for you, so that you could be saved. But it's a free gift, and only you can choose it. In 1829, there was a man, George Wilson. He was a sinner. He also believed in killing riders of the Pony Express. Back in the early 1800s, the way the mail was delivered was through the Pony Express. And George Wilson killed two Pony Express carriers. President Andrew Jackson pardoned him. And George Wilson was pardoned by the President of the United States. George Wilson said, no, I am a guilty man. And he hung that day for the price of killing those two men on the Pony Express. George Wilson was given a gift. He was given a pardon, but he did not accept the gift. A gift is not a gift, boys and girls, until you receive it. Have you received Jesus? Have you asked Him into your life? Well, how do I do that? We're going to get to that, but it's simpler than you think. I often talk in class about grace. What is grace? Grace, as Jaden said, is unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor from Mr. A. The kind of grace that comes for me once in a while comes very little from Mr. Sweem. Mr. Sweeney probably has more justified eyes than I do. But the grace that I'd want to talk about today is in a bigger scale. Actually, it's the most important scale. And that is the grace that Jesus gives you and gives me. Unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor through Jesus Christ. Because he paid the price for my sin and yours, it's an acronym. If you take the word grace, it's God's riches at Christ's expense. You see, he paid the price for our sin. And he does not expect anything out of you except to just receive the free gift. And so that's all you have to do is receive it. And once you receive it, I can't explain it except to say that he will come into your life and he will change your life radically. This is a real thing. These people are not here today because they want to come to church for good ideas or good thinking. We come here today because we celebrate the victory that we have over sin. We celebrate the victory that we have over hell and the devil and his henchmen. We celebrate that because 10 out of 10 people die and we know we're going to heaven. So today, don't think whether you're 13 or 53 or 93 that you have tomorrow. None of us know that. Don't walk out those doors without Jesus today. You may say, well, my family thinks I'm saved and, you know, I live a pretty good life. But Mr. A, you're saying that really being a good person doesn't save you? That's correct. Only the blood of Jesus can save you. Romans 8:1, continuing on the Romans road, says, therefore now there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So if you're in Christ Jesus and you're saved, you're not condemned. Good news. Hallelujah. Boom chakalaka. It's great because we are forgiven. Everybody say forgiven.
Forgiven.
Forgiven. Do you know our prisons are full of men and women who don't believe they're forgiven? You're forgiven, folks. You're forgiven of your sin. That's the good news. That's the great news. It's like a few weeks ago, my pastor said, yeah, it's called Good Friday, but really it should be called Great Friday. Because it is great that we are forgiven and that we are saved and that we are going to heaven. And then Romans 8:38 and 39 says, just down the road from Romans 8:1, it says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What that means is that there ain't nothing that can take us away. Nothing that can take you away from Jesus' love. He's got you under his wing. He's got you in his hand. You're protected. Are there going to be rough times? Yeah, that's life. Life can be that way. Life can be one big bummer. And you say, Fred, how can a God save me, but yet he could also send me to hell? How can a good God do such a thing? Let me ask you today, how can a God give you life? How can a God put oxygen in your lungs and give you legs to walk in a life of 10, 20, 50, 80 years? How dare I question God? He knows what's best for me. He knows what's best for you. And your bummer, I don't know. I don't understand it. But God does. Have you talked to him? Have you talked to God? You know you can do that. I can do that every day. And I'm here to tell you, there's many of us here to tell you today, he really loves you. really does. He loves you more. This is, I know I'm going to step out of bounds a little bit. He loves you more than your mom and dad do. He really does. I mean, I love my wife. I give my life for my wife. I give my life for my children. Matt, I don't know if I'd give my life for you. I love you too, but I don't know. And I know your mom and dad, they would for you, but I don't think they would for Abby and Tiana and Ashley and Nick. But see, our God did that, didn't he, Matt? He gave his life for the McFeeder family and the Alexander family and the Sandusky family and the Angel family and the Alexanders. And the list goes on and on. He died and gave his life for all of us. Amen? And I'm a dirty, rotten scoundrel. I am the chiefest of sinners. And yet he died for me. And he died for you. And he loves you so much. And here's the best part. We're almost done. Turn over to Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 8. But what says that the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach? It's in your mouth. You go, Mr. A, how do I know that, you know, this Bible that you preach, how do I know that this isn't just a white person's faith? And what about the Aborigines? What about the natives in Brazil? What about people who never had the word? What about them? We got the Bible. We got Trail Community Church. We got all these ways of finding Jesus. But what about those people that, look what it says. But what says the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart? Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, God has made it plain to all of us. We know in our heart. We know that there's a devil. We know that there's Jesus. We know that he died for you. The Bible says it. Either I believe it or I don't. It's very plain. It's very black and white. It's in our mouth. It's in our heart. So we know. Verse 9. What do we know? We know that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, finish it, you will be saved. Louder.
You will be saved.
Gang, we're saved. If we confess Jesus with our mouth and believe that Jesus rose from the dead, we are saved. For with the heart, man or woman believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. Basically, what that's saying is that we are saved. We believe in doing a 180 and turning around, that God is now in control of our life, that he's going to lead us every step of the way from here on out. And there's going to be dry times. There's going to be times when I'm going, Lord, where are you? But he's there. He just wants you. He just wants me to trust in him. He wants us to have, what's that word? Oh, a relationship with him. If you have a girlfriend, or if you have a boyfriend, you see them every day. You want to talk to them. You want to say, how's it going? That's what the Lord wants from me. That's what the Lord wants from you. He wants that relationship. He wants you to draw that circle around yourself, and he wants you to pray and just talk with him. But here's the best part, verse 13, I'm ending with this, almost. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you a whosoever? Are you a believer? Are you a whosoever that says, I choose Jesus? Have you cried out to him? Have you sought him out? Because truly, me leading my own life is disaster. You leading your life, awful. But when you give your life to Jesus, He will never leave you or forsake you. Years ago, I had a grandpa, Charles, and when I accepted Jesus, he said, "You'll never regret it." Never have. Because he's real. He lives in my heart. Because I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. People are always going to talk. People are going to doubt. And our world is so bizarre today. But as you live your life out, He's real. He's there. And He loves you. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Close your eyes. In God's Word, Jesus declares, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He wants to take us home. He wants us to be with Him. Boys and girls, hell is basically this. It takes all the sadness, sorrow, discrimination, bummers, selfishness, bullying, all the dark deeds of this world, and puts it in a trash compactor called hell. That's what hell is. Heaven is where God is and where you will forever be with Him. Do not leave this church without Him. You are a fool if you think you have tomorrow. All you need is God. Corrie Ten Boom said, "We have nothing." When we realize that we only have God, that's all we need. You may say, "Fred, you don't know what I go through. You don't know my life." I know. That's why I want you to tell the Lord. Because you have bummers and trials and mountains in front of you that only He can deal with. You see, we've got to stop telling our God how big our mountain is and start telling our mountain how big our God is, because He wants to move it. Truly, Jesus is our best friend. And Father, I pray today for the people here at Trail Community Church. I pray, Father, that Your light will just shine into their heart. That, Lord, for those that are here today that don't know You, that, Father, they will be a whosoever and just ask You to come into their life. So, Lord, do heart surgery now. Touch them now, Jesus. Because truly, Father, it's no person, it's no pastor, it's no church that saves. It's You that saves. So, Father, touch them even now. I pray. If you don't know Jesus and you go, "Fred, Mr. A, I've never done this before. This is really weird. But I hear what you're saying and I'd like to know more. I'd like to know more about this Jesus. I'd like to know more about being saved." With every head bowed, every eye closed. I do. I want to know more about Him. I'm wanting to know what it means to be saved. Please raise your hand. Thank you in the back. Thank you down here. Father, I pray for these. I sense there are more that don't know You, Father. I pray that You save them now. Touch their hearts, Lord, in such a way. Jesus, lover of our souls, I just pray for these dear, dear people, for the healing touch over their lives and over all of their things that they're dealing with, Lord. Father, may they just dump them over the abyss and give them to You now. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.